Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.ca.
Episode 24, and yeah, I'm your host, Jürgen Reis, here from beautiful, almost springy spring time Vorarlberg, and on the other side, as always, my second host here in the Aviation Quest CC podcast cockpit, Stefan. Hi.
Hello, Jürgen. How's it going?
Yeah, at least we can keep up with the sun, even though your sunny island might be warmer, but it's really beautiful. I mean, we are recording this in almost middle of the March, and it's a nice day and a nice podcast, because there was some really nice comments, interesting comments, after the launch of our flight sim series back in episode 17. And so we decided today, so to say, to make a follow-up, Stefan.
Yes. So obviously this is part of a flight sim series, and as you probably know, we pre-record them. So when you hear them, they will have been recorded some time ago. And so the first one came out and we had some interesting comments. So that's essentially what we're talking about. It's all a bit confusing with when we record and when it's released and when people are comment. But yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, podcast is strategic. Oh yeah, also keep in mind, I did my best with my research, especially with my first adventure here I present today. But the research was basically done in February, in March 2026. So by the time this podcast goes online, there could be already updates, changes, or whatever. But I think basically, and if there are things I didn't get right, please comment them either in the Discord server. We got an Aviation Quest CC category, thanks to Stefan, in his Discord server FS Clips, or in the comment section of Aviation-Quest podcast. And this is thanks to Stefan. We are not only an audio podcast, we are also a YouTube podcast. This is a YouTube channel, and Stefan, also today, there's, I think, a great video, a real-world flight created by you with some flight sim going on in the background. And yeah, what's the flight today?
Yes, so today we are doing one of those flights that, you know, what we call shuttle flights. So they're usually many, many flights every single day between two big cities. So today we are flying from London Heathrow to Frankfurt. And we're doing so with British Airways on an Airbus A320. There's loads of flights between those two cities. Yeah.
Busy leg.
Yes, very busy. Both airports very busy as well. I had to reset the traffic, otherwise I would have never gotten out of the hold.
And yeah, I was mentioning comments in the beginning. They were on my LinkedIn. So I got a private LinkedIn account with my real name. You can find it quite easily. And every Tuesday afternoon, I post there the episodes. And there were really interesting comments about flight simming back in the 1980s and even in the 70s. Boeing 737-200 with 32K in the late 60s. This sounds amazing, Stefan. So if there is somebody out there who can provide us first-hand experience with simulators like this, please write us. We want to interview you. Stefan, I think you will agree. This would be super interesting to speak with people who were certainly there before we even were able to think about flight simming.
Yes, absolutely. The numbers they quoted were pretty insane. Like you said, a screenshot today, you know, that you take in the sim has already more kilobyte than the whole system had back then.
A screenshot today. I don't know, a megabyte is easy, depending of the screen you have. But I mean, a megabyte was back then really, yeah, it was an Amiga floppy disk, I think, something like this.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, it'd be super interesting I can't even picture it. What was the graphics like? Was it super realistic, or was it just to teach the basics? Because today we use these synthetic flight sims, the full motion ones, whenever I have a training, and they're essentially treated like the real aircraft. I mean, it is Airbus just takes an A320 cockpit that is, and instead of putting it into a real aircraft, they're putting it into a sim. It's exactly the same thing, same software, same everything. So, you know, to think back what it must have been like back then, really interesting. I would love to know what they were used, these simulators, for what kind of training and what were the limitations, you know. That would be super interesting, yeah.
But I was just thinking, maybe we can also, I mean, first we make those follow-ups, but maybe we can make also a follow-up with some deep dive research into retro flight simming, and there I can also put out again the exact kilobyte number of an Amiga floppy disk, which was not 1 megabyte. Please no comment to this. This was just a guessing.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember what it was, but you are very good at this. You'll find out everything.
I think I even read it out in episode 17. But episode 17, my LinkedIn posting was where these comments were made. And please write us. We got an email address. It's on our homepage. Our homepage is aviation-quest.cc. There you got all the contact data. But today, we make more flight sim adventures. So we had 3 flight sim adventure parts back in episode 19, 20, and 21. These were parts 1, 2, 3. And today we have episode 24 and we have part 4. And yeah, you said I should start, Stefan.
Yes, I did. Yeah, so tell us, what's your next adventure?
After 7 minutes of... Let's get finally started. Hey, you came up with the idea of getting this adventure into my bucket list because I haven't really flown it yet, because I still have no PC there which is able to deal with X-Plane 12 or the Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. And this is one of my goals. Once I have a new PC and those simulators, I want to make this fly, because you were, and don't ask me in which of your FS Clips videos it was, Stefan, but in one of your videos, you asked the viewers about if they know which is the highest elevated civilian airport in the world. You might remember.
Yes, I do remember, yeah.
And I was, you know, I was just thinking, okay, I'm a writer, I can do research, I have to find this out. And I found the airport. It's in the foothills of the eastern Himalayas. And it's the Dao Cheng Yading Airport. No clue how this is pronounced the right way. But the ICAO code is Zulu Uniform Delta Charlie. And I made a flight, so I came up with a flight from Xining. And this is a place I was visiting with my father, and I climbed an awesome world club there. I also wrote about it in my books, also in my recent book. It's a mental training book. Unfortunately only published in German, Peak Mastermind. But back to the adventure here. Xining is the airport of a city which is already at, what are we here? About 7,000 feet. Okay, this is Xining.
Right.
And after that, you climb almost 7,300 feet higher to reach the elevation of 14,470 feet of Daocheng Yading Airport, which is officially the highest elevated civilian airport on Earth. The ICAO code of Xining, that you get it straightforward in the simulator, is Zulu Lima X-ray November. Okay? And yeah, I mean, the takeoff and everything, I think, is straightforward. You got an international airport in Xining. This should be an easy going. But certainly, I mean, the runway length in Daocheng Yading with 13,000 feet sounds quite comfortable. But yeah, the big but, Stefan, huh? 14,470 feet. May I ask you, in the real world, in the A320, which was the highest elevated airport you ever touched down?
We don't have high altitude airports at all. I think some airports, maybe Innsbruck or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
1,000 feet. I can't remember ever touching down somewhere that is really high. Europe, luckily, most airports are very low down. Yeah. But this sounds insane, huh? Because this is, if you think about it, we fly over 300 knots until 10,000 feet, and then we slow down to 250 knots. So if we would follow this rule at that airport, we would fly the approach at 300 knots because we're still
certainly. I mean, this is high altitude and thin air, so to say. There is the physics are playing tricks there. And I mean, was for me also, I did a lot of research on this adventure because my body already struggled with the sleeping and being on high performance mode in Xining. And I was really in top shape back then. And Xining got 2.47 million inhabitants. And yeah, I mean, is already at, as I said, 7,120 feet. The airport is there, so 7,000 feet. But there is a village near this Daocheng Yading. Near, I think it's an hour driving away, and it's a little bit down. This whatever they built it. I have to check this out in the flight sim. I have to have the new flight sim versions. I have to see this. And there are people, 32,000 people. About 32,000 people are living in this town at 11,000 feet. This is crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy, yeah. When you fly an aeroplane above 10,000 feet, you should really be wearing oxygen masks and stuff, you know. So,
interestingly enough, the little brother or sister of your A320? So the A390 seems to operate in this Daocheng Yading Airport.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think I'm going to have to look at this in Microsoft Flight Simulator to see if the airports are there. And if they're there, maybe we'll try the flight.
They are there. There are also free sceneries, so freeware sceneries from the community, as well as from X-Plane 12 and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. And according to my research, X-Plane 12, as it is by now, seems to excel when it comes to the authentic altitude feel and also the aerodynamic model, while as Microsoft 2024 seem to be ahead of the game when it comes to the visual and the overall immersion. Because, and I would highly suggest, because it's a visual approach, please do yourself the favor, blue skies, no real weather.
yes. That'd be interesting. Maybe I'll try it out. Maybe I even film it. Yeah. And then we can upload it and I can dedicate the flight to you since you've actually been there.
Don't overdo it here. But back to my script here. I over-prepared this adventure, if you allow, Stefan.
Yeah,
another plane that is, so to say, certified is the Dassault Falcon 7X. So it seems also this private jet, if you want to have a little bit of luxury jet feeling, seems to be fit to be landed into this airport, but otherwise you really have to do your homework. So here is really preparation matters. And yeah, I think if you make a calculation mistake, you might be ending up in the foothills of the Eastern Himalaya.
Yes. Well, I could imagine you're probably limited, weight limited. Because if you think about it, if you take off and you lose an engine, you still need to climb. So I would imagine you, I mean, I don't know where they go from there, but I would imagine they can't have full tanks and full aircraft. It's just not going to work. At that altitude with just one engine, you're not going to climb, you know. So, be interesting. Very interesting airport.
I feel in Stefan's voice a sort of kind of motivation, like I have to make a FS Clips movie about this. And yes, you get my big thumbs up here from Vorarlberg, Austria, Stefan.
Okay, you got good. It. I need to do some research first to make sure it's all done properly.
And as I said, speaking of properly, if there was something wrong in what I just pointed out, or you want to put something into this, so it's just according to my research, my theory research, I have no real world flight experience. Anyway, no real world flight experience in China whatsoever, but also no simulator flight experience in this. Feel free to comment on whatever platforms you can nail me down and criticize me on whatever. No, please don't. But your first adventure, Stefan.
Yes, so I would like to talk about an aircraft that I don't think many people are aware of. So back in the days of FSX, the publisher Just Flight launched an aircraft called the SR-71 Blackbird. And back then, I think it was the first time anyone had ever launched a Blackbird for any kind of, you know, like a detailed Blackbird for any kind of flight simulator. And I got a copy with the manual, and the manual itself read like a movie, you know. So the aircraft had not black rubber, but white rubber, which was specially designed by the CAA, so it could take the speeds. Because the aircraft was going so fast, it heated up so much that all the panels actually expanded. So they had to build the aircraft that when it was sitting on the ground, there were actually gaps everywhere. And when they fueled the aircraft, there was actually fuel dripping out of the aircraft between the gaps. But that was normal. And they used a special fuel, they used special stuff in the fuel that it wasn't so flammable. They even tested it. They threw a cigarette into the fuel and it was just extinguished by the fuel. So this thing was dripping fuel, taking off, accelerating to crazy speeds. And because of that, it would expand and then it would seal itself. The cockpit, from what I remember, they managed to get photographs and stuff, but they couldn't simulate each and every system because to this day, it's still an aircraft that is partly classified. So we still don't actually know everything about the Blackbird. It's still one of those, you know, top secret aircraft that was operated by the CIA. But I still remember looking at it, and it was a lot of fun to fly. And obviously you go up really, really high. You go up to 65,000 feet. You fly at insane speeds, you know, Mach. I can't remember the actual cruising speed. It was something like 2.5 initially, and then you went all the way up. I think the speed record was something crazy like 5 Mach or something. So super interesting aircraft, needed really, really long runways because it didn't have any flaps or slats or anything, and it was built for speeds, so the approach speeds were really high, and they had a parachute which was modeled to help it slow down. So yeah, very, very cool, very different. I have heard that there's a new one for Microsoft Flight Simulator. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't really had time yet to look it up, whether it's any good. But if it is good, then maybe I'll have a look. Because The Just Flight one was pretty good for that time. I mean, they even simulated the dripping fuel, so you could actually see drips coming down when you were taxiing to the runway, which was, you know, all these nice little touches that the aircraft had. So that to me was something really special, because you could do some really high altitude, crazy fast flying. So I don't know, from New York to LA in, I don't know what it would be, maybe an hour or something like that. Yeah, so really cool, really cool.
I'm just smiling because I have seen, I think, hours of YouTube documentaries about this amazing plane. I went into a YouTube rabbit hole. No, a self-created rabbit hole. But I had to see, it was a year or two ago, I had to see every detail about this. There are so many great and well-made YouTube documentaries. If you want to get motivated to study this plane and fly it afterwards. Also, as I said, YouTube is really a great source there of real world pictures.
Yeah, exactly. I used it as well a bit to help me figure out this aircraft.
I think there was even a pilot interview. It was amazing. Amazing documentaries and really high end stuff at YouTube. I just can't say it like this.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, I've never seen a Blackbird in real life. I mean, I saw one in a museum, but of course, I've never seen one flying, which is a real shame. That would have been amazing. But, you know, it is what it is. We have it in Flight Simulator, and we can pretend to be Blackbird pilots in the sim. So yeah, that was one of my highlights in the past.
Okay. So should I come up with my second adventure?
Yes, please. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought I make a little bit of a revival of the good old flop, almost floppy disk times. No, I think it was on CD-ROM. I don't remember, but I think this is still, yeah. Is still a thing many old school simmers might be familiar with. I'm speaking of nothing less than Chicago Makesfield, the one and only. Yeah, in reality, removed in 2003, but Stefan made also this. Yeah, Stefan was so to say responsible for almost all of the flight sim adventures I put out today. Stefan told me in a private conversation that it was so to say revived in Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, I think, Stefan. There was a scenery. You told me that there were a lot of downloads.
Yes, someone put it back in because they said it's part of the history of Microsoft Flight Simulator. I'd completely forgotten about that airport until I saw that add-on, okay. And I thought, oh, that's such a nice idea.
So there are free community add-ons.
I believe so, yeah, from what I saw. I need to get it. The thing is, for those people that are maybe a bit younger, in the past, when you started your Microsoft Flight Simulator, you went immediately into the sim. You didn't start in a menu. And then you could choose your aircraft and your airport, etc. So you would always start at Makesfield in a Cessna, if I remember correctly, right?
On the runway. You could choose another airport, but coincidentally, the scenery around Makesfield was so astonishing and so great. But you might be right. I think in the very early, I don't know, maybe there was a, no, I think it was the, at least it was the default airport. Let's leave it like this. Yeah. This is really, yeah. I have to walk down past memory lane quite a bit here. But once for sure, I have the German Flughandbuch of the Microsoft Flight Simulator 5.1 just right in my hand now. And there it is, even the cover image is Chicago. And yeah, back then it was definitely the default airport. And yeah, back to my adventure here. It's a really, really short trip. It's 7 to 8 nautical miles. It's over there to O'Hara. And yeah, be a little bit careful when you use the real world traffic or stuff like this, because O'Hara, as it is by now, 2,350 to 2,500 flights, or what is this? movements per day, it says, and this puts it to among the busiest airports in the world. So, but they have even a dedicated area for GA aircraft, so you can choose if you fly the Learjet, so to say, from back then, yeah, full-time revival, or maybe a GA aircraft, general aviation, or a light business jet, whatever you do, have fun. But I thought this is a little bit a love letter adventure to the good old times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember there was a whole campaign to keep the airport open.
Wow.
The flights in community, but the city said no. Sorry, the land had already been sold, and yeah, I don't even know what's there now. I would imagine it's probably just some apartment buildings and shops and stuff. Yeah.
At least we make our tribute here to the older versions of Flight Simulator with this revival. And in Makesfield, to give you a little bit data here, you have approximately 300 to 900 feet of a runway. In O'Hara, certainly you can go from 8,000 up to 13,000 feet, so there is no problem whatsoever. But, well, as I said, this is, I think, a quick but quite amazing. Yeah, if you make some, you know, if you want to have some memories, so back then memories with now certainly much better graphics, check it out. Maybe also an X-Plane. X-Plane, there are also sort of kind of add-ons. If not now, maybe the next weeks. If you are lucky, just check out the X-Plane community, and otherwise, build your own airport there or whatever. I mean, the community airport building, I think, in X-Plane is quite... there's a growing community, and I think it should be already available.
Yeah. X-Plane is great like this. When I used X-Plane, it's actually super easy to make your own sceneries. They give you like this, it's almost like a box of Legos, and you can build your own airports. I built a lot of airports for myself in X-Plane
11. Yeah.
I would imagine it's the same in X-Plane 12.
We both have no real world experience in X-Plane 12, but as I said, do your research and it will be possible. And as I said, otherwise it will show up sooner or later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is my positive suggestion here my positive guessing here for the future.
Yes. Well, very cool. That's very nice. That's really cool that you brought that airport up. It's part of the history, right?
You brought it up, and afterwards I made an adventure. So let's keep the facts. Let's keep the facts. But well, your second adventure of the day, Stefan.
Yes. So my second one is sort of intertwined with my third one. So if it's okay, I'll just talk about both one like together. And so this started when I got my very first VR headset, which was quite a number of years ago now. I think we're talking 7-8 years ago. And I started dabbling with VR in Microsoft Flight Simulator and X-Plane, but my computer just couldn't really do it. So I went to a forum for people that had VR headsets and asked, are there any flight simulator games or anything you would recommend? And I got two recommendations. The first one was called VTOL VR, and the second one was called Project Wingman. And I decided to buy Project Wingman because the trailer and everything looked really good. And I'm not quite sure you can call it a simulator. It's you fly planes, and there's a story, you know, you have to fight for a fraction. It's all like fighter jets. It's a bit arcadey, but with the virtual reality, it's a huge amount of fun. And the storyline is actually kind of cool. So you play through a whole long story. And in the end, of course, there's a big, you know, boss battle going on. And the nice thing is, you can, as you go along, you improve your skills, you improve your points, and you can buy more and more aircraft. And you start off with something really old and outdated, like an F4 Phantom or a MiG-21. And then you go through all of the classics, you know, F-14, F-15, F-16, F-18, or the MiG-29, Su-27. And then, of course, at the end, you end up on the F-22, the Raptor, and some futuristic aircraft even that don't even exist yet. And yeah, it was so much fun. I played through the whole game, the whole campaign. There's also a free play mode, you know, where you can just go and fly and do some air-to-air battles. But once it was done, actually a month later, I thought, you know what, I'll play through it again. And I played through the whole thing again because it was so much fun. And each mission is different. Sometimes you have to do dogfights. Sometimes you have to protect. Maybe there's an evacuation going on from a city, and you have to protect these people by bombing tanks and ground air units and stuff like that. So it's quite varied. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, you can fly all kinds of cool aircraft. And so that was really nice. And in VR, even with an older computer, it runs super smooth. Now, Virtual VR is quite different. Virtual VR is actually a proper simulator. There's no storyline or anything. It's like X-Plane or Microsoft Flight Simulator. You have to make your own, you know, story, so to speak. It's also fighter jets. There's no civil aircraft. But what I really like about it is specifically designed for virtual reality. So you don't need a joystick. You don't need rudder pedals. You don't need anything. You can see your hands in the cockpit. You can flick all the switches in the cockpit, and if you grab the stick, like the side stick, it will actually do it in the sim, and that's how you fly the aircraft. So it's at the beginning it's a bit weird because you don't actually have anything in your hand apart from the controller, but once you get used to it, it's really nice and natural. And the cool thing is all you need is the game and a headset, and you don't need to buy any other things like a joystick or anything like that. The game is quite in depth. They have some aircraft which are borderline study level. There's also some carrier landing simulation, which in VR is a lot of fun, but it's very, very difficult. So yeah, if that's more your thing, less, you know, less storyline, less arcadey, more simulator.
So Stefan, there was near study level going on. You make me curious, what planes were there?
Because for copyright reasons, they're not allowed to call them like the real world counterparts. So they have slightly different names, but essentially you have a Tomcat, an F-14 Tomcat, and something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's really cool. And something that's very similar to, and I would think like an F-5 Tiger, which is a training aircraft. And there's a very modern aircraft, which reminds me a lot of the Raptor, you know, the F-22. But they also have an aircraft that's why it's called VTOL, you know, that can hover. So you can use the engine and tilt it 90 degrees. So you can do vertical takeoff and landing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite varied, actually. And I just like the way it's designed. You can see it's completely designed for virtual reality. Like, for example, once you've chosen your aircraft and everything to start the simulator, you need to grab your helmet and put it on your head. And when you put your helmet on your head, it gets briefly dark, and then you sit in the cockpit. So it's really well done, really well designed. Yeah. So those are my two things that I still play today once in a while if I want to do some VR flying. And if you have a VR headset, like I said, then I would recommend this because it's great.
Wow, sounds amazing. Yeah, I think, and I mean, speaking of Project Wingman, what came to my mind was an amazing scene it was in some of your FS clips, YouTube videos, where you flew a plane in Project Wingman, I don't know which it was, through clouds, and this looked really super realistic. You made a comparison, and I think it really aced in contrast to other flight sims.
Yes, the graphics of Project Wingman are absolutely amazing, yeah. It's such a beautiful sim, and especially the clouds and things like rain effects are just way ahead of anything else, including X-Plane and Microsoft Flight Simulator. That's why I showed it off and made the comparison, because I do think in those parts, especially Microsoft Flight Simulator, still is way behind of what would be possible. Now, just to make it clear, VTOL VR is not really that amazing in terms of graphics. They concentrated more on the flight model and the systems. So don't expect, like super duper beautiful sunsets. It's still a nice looking sim, but graphics wise, it's not as nice as like Microsoft Flight Simulator. They were more concentrated, you know, when they made the sim, they were more focused on the aircraft, yeah.
But certainly, I mean, keep in mind that nowadays simulators, all of them, they are, so to say, living, ongoing, developing platforms. So, you know, each update could be a game changer. We record this in March 2026 and cannot foresee the future. But yeah, maybe they will take a look. They listen to this podcast, take a look and make it better. Hopefully.
Who knows? Maybe in a few years or whatever, there will be a VTOL VR 2 and that will be completely different. Who knows?
Well then, should I present my final adventure for today, Stefan?
Yes, please.
It's, so to say, a real-world visit to, yeah, or a simulated visit of a real-world visit of both places. Complicated sentence. I was there in 1992, as well as in Las Vegas, as in Palm Springs. And both airports are amazing. I think in all, you know, in X-Plane 12, in Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, or in AeroFS4, they look pretty, and also real-world pilots, according to my research, speak highly of those two destinations. And yeah, it's a relatively short hop. It's about 190 nautical miles. So in 45 to 50 minutes, easy going. And just take a private jet of your choice, a business jet of your choice. You can also get into Stefan's A320 and jet over there. The runway in Las Vegas is enough, is more than long enough anyway. It's 14,500 feet, up to 4,500 feet. But also Palm Springs International provides you about 10,000 feet, which is certainly more than long enough for almost, yeah. You can also get there with an airliner, no problem at all.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, I only know Las Vegas. I've been to Vegas myself. I actually took off from that airport as a passenger. And I know it from Microsoft Flight Simulator, but also from Aerofly FS4, because it has a really, really nice scenery, especially at night when you take
off. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And also Palm Springs. I mean, I visited Palm Springs in the real world and also enjoyed it in the sim afterwards. But it's really a beautiful place. So in the real world, this is really, this is why all the millionaires, but why a lot of millionaires think they got second house. I mean, Palm Springs is a luxury place, you know. Why? Because it's super beautiful.
Yes, exactly, yeah. I have never been there. I've not even flown there in the sim. So I have no idea what it looks like. Maybe I should take a look.
It is nice. It's really nice. And yeah, it's an iconic desert scenery, and certainly the Las Vegas Strip, especially at night, looks beautiful. And Palm Springs, it's surreal. It's really a great landscape surrounded by mountains and a great approach into it, and you will enjoy it. I really think it's a short luxury sector and desert glamour, and certainly you can also fly there almost with a wide body jet, no problem at all. So with 10,000 feet I got here, yeah, 10,000 feet, yes, 10,000 was it. No problem at all.
Okay, that sounds good. Maybe something else for me to check out in the sim. You've given me a lot of homework now.
I have to get some new ideas into it. No, you're never running out of ideas at your FS Clips channel. But yeah, you're making a lot of deep dives, maybe some versatility. Just a tip of mind. Maybe it's also good for, some YouTube. What was your goal? 10,000 subscribers by the end of the year.
Yes. We're almost there. But I need to, maybe you're right. Maybe if we do something like this, it will bump up the subscribers a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy if I could help with this. But Las Vegas to Palm Springs, keep this in mind. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And certainly also the other way around, the approach into Las Vegas, it's also great.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, that sounds great. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well then, we reached the end of another episode. Looking forward for your thumbs up, maybe also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Podcast Addicts, Podigy, wherever you find us. I just read this down, by the way, on our homepage, aviationquest.cc. And also write in if you want to be in one of your shows as a guest. Would be great. Other than that, I am looking forward already for the 25th episode. And this will be, so to say, which part is this? Now I lost my accounting here. Yeah, here it is. The fifth part of our ongoing adventure series, which was just, separated by a couple of other episodes, speaking of versatility.
Yes, exactly. Okay, good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Jürgen. Thank you for your time.
And thank you. I think it was fun. And yeah, keep in the line afterwards for a couple of minutes. But I think, thank you for your time.
Yeah,
I hope we provided some nice, so to say, homework, keep it in Stefan's work, homework for your flight simulator adventures in the upcoming weeks.
Absolutely. All right, then. So thank you, Jürgen. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you for listening. And as always, we look forward to seeing you next time round. Until then, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.